Hello, Scott and Todd. Special episode, Scott Speaks. May 19th, 2026. Sorry, I've got a thing on my keypad here. I don't know quite what it was. Piece of dirt or skin. I don't know. Tuesday evening here in Studio SLC. Todd, even though I reminded him, was unable to make it this evening. I texted him 45 minutes before the normal time that we pod and said, "What time?" And no matter what he'd said, I would have said, "Well, I'm actually ready now," because, you know, he stays up a little later, being on the East Coast, typically, when we pod. So I was going to say, "Well, you know, I'm ready now if you want." Didn't reply. An hour later, "Hello, what's the deal?" "Oh, I'm asleep." Or, "I'm in bed." He didn't say I'm asleep. That'd be weird if he was literally asleep. So Scott Speaks comes your way, and here we are. That's right. I got just some random stuff that I wanted to talk about and discuss tonight. Truly a random mix of things. I wrote them all down on the Fairfield by Marriott pad that sits before me. Wanted to start with what I was just watching, and the reason that I'm now recording this after 9 p.m., I would have recorded it quite a bit earlier myself, as mentioned, and I nearly turned this game off, but tonight was game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, so yes, starting with a bit of sibling dribblings, but this will be quick, don't worry. Knicks and Cavs are who's in the mix. Knicks have the home court advantage. And so the Knicks are playing in Madison Square Garden. At one point, I think they were down 22 points in the second half. Like, it was at halftime, it was a 5-6 point game. But early on in the third quarter, the Cavs just came out like wildfire. And the Knicks couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, as the kids like to say. Yes, the old kids. But man, the Knicks made a roaring comeback. I think at one point late in the fourth, they were on an 18-1 run. Long story short, tied the game, went to overtime, and the game is now over. 115-104, Knicks win. I have no dog in the fight. I really don't care. I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I'd say I hope the Knicks win, just because who cares about the Cavaliers? But yeah, Madison Square Garden was going ballistic tonight. In my opinion, I think OKC is going to win the Western Conference part of this, although the Spurs played incredibly well, or playing out of their minds, so who knows? That one might go 6 or 7, but I think OKC will win. And I think they will beat whoever comes out of the East, but hell of a game. Again, did not care at all who won, but just kind of flicked it on here in the hotel room and started watching it, and then again, almost stopped, and I was like, I'll see what happens here. I was doing some other stuff on my computer. Before you know, I look up, it's like, it's 12, 10, 8, 6. Bang, bang, Mike Breen calling the game. Bunch of bangs. A number of three-pointers were hit by the Knicks, and before you know it, it's a tie game. Cavs almost won it in regulation, but shot rimmed out. So anyway, congrats to the Knicks. Any Knicks fans listening to this podcast? I don't know that there are many, if any, but congrats. If you are a Knicks fan, congrats. If you bet on the Knicks, had any gamble involved in that game, you were probably having a heart attack for a minute there. I don't know what the line was. I assume the Knicks were favored. They're the higher seed. They were playing at home. So I don't know what the line was, but I'm guessing the fact that they won by 11 in the Eastern Conference Finals, any conference finals, they probably covered. They probably covered that one for sure. So anyway, so that's game one. Knicks up 1-0. We'll see what happens there. Speaking of gambling, again, it's going to be a random podcast, very random. I'm just going to kind of bounce around. I was speaking with a coworker today who does not live here in Salt Lake, but comes out a couple times a year, stays for an extended period of time. He was here over the weekend, this past weekend, and apparently he went he drove out to Wendover. Now, Wendover is all the way clear west from here in Salt Lake to the Utah-Nevada border. And apparently, according to him, there is a line in the street that indicates the state line. And, of course, the second you cross over, there's casinos. And so apparently he'd gone there with a couple of the co-workers who were up for a good time. And it's interesting. I've never been to Wendover. I don't see myself ever going. You know, maybe if I lived here, I'd make that journey. I think it's like a 2-hour drive, which would kind of suck just for like an evening or something. But, and it's not, I think there's a couple, like a handful of casinos, you know, maybe 3 at most, and that's kind of it. But I'm just curious what it's like, what it's actually like. Because again, this is probably chock full of Utah residents, right? I mean, as you would expect. And so what exactly does that mean? What's the vibe at a place like that, you know? And I'm looking right now, there's the Montego Bay Hotel Casino Resort and the Wendover Nugget Hotel and Casino. I don't really see any other casino. Oh, there's a Peppermill Hotel Casino and the Rainbow Hotel Casino. That's more towards West Wendover. But anyway, I just, again, if we assume, because if you keep going west into Nevada, there's nothing for a while, a long while. So I assume that the majority of people that visit are people that are coming from Salt Lake. So what's the vibe? Because again, I have nothing against people from Salt Lake. Don't get me wrong. I'm here all the time now for work. Literally all of my employees at least live here, and many are from here and have lived here their entire lives. So I'm not talking down about the people here. However, I will say that they just have different morals, different values. They live a different life than most people I know. Certainly people from Denver, but even people from back, you know, back east, back home where I grew up. It's even hard to put your finger on, which is why I'm struggling here, but they just live a different lifestyle. And so I can only imagine that for a certain percentage of people visiting Wendover, you know, it's like taking a kid out of the rural areas of any part of this country and taking them to New York City or something, or LA. They're just like, whoa, just looking up at the big buildings, sort of a thing. And again, it's in Nevada, so you're getting all the Nevada things, but, you know, that are legal, which is pretty much everything. But I'd just be curious to go there at some point and see what that's like. And again, it's very possible that it's a scenario where, well, the only people that go from Salt Lake to Wendover are the degenerates that would populate the Vegas Strip or anything like that anyway. So it's kind of the same situation. It's just in a different part of the state, different part of Nevada. So anyway, again, just throwing it out there. I thought it was interesting that a handful of them decided to spend their time doing that, making that 2-hour drive. To be a fly on the wall to see, excuse me, to see some of those coworkers in that scenario and how I can only assume they were acting, behaving, what have you. But anyway, speaking of traveling, I was having dinner with that same coworker and 3 other coworkers this evening. And, we were just chatting, and 2 of the 5 people at dinner tonight are part of the Australian contingent of my company. And one of them was saying that she, was doing some European travel and had booked a flight from Brisbane, Australia to Amsterdam. Now, if you're an idiot and don't understand geography, that means you start in Australia, you cross the Pacific Ocean, you cross the United States, you cross the Atlantic Ocean, and you end up in Amsterdam in Europe. Now, I wasn't 100% sure. She didn't quite make it clear. I think there's a mandatory pit stop at some point in there, almost certainly at some location in the U.S., probably either L.A. or New York. It doesn't really matter. I know from firsthand experience that flying from Sydney back to the U.S. is somewhere in the range of 12 to 13 hours. I did this many, many years ago, so it may be slightly different, but it can't be that different. Planes haven't advanced that far in technology and speed and everything. But so that's about half your trip, because she mentioned it was over, right over 24 hours, the full journey. So you could theoretically go Brisbane, L.A., or San Francisco, and then hop on a plane and go the rest of the way straight to Europe. But good Lord, I can only imagine the stiffness and tightness of one's body just sitting there. Now, of course, and I would advise this, having no experience or little experience with flights of that distance, but of course, I would highly suggest as often as you can, at least every 2 hours or so, get up, walk around, stretch, maybe go in the bathroom, do some stretching in there, do something. Because certainly for me, when I'm sitting at home, just working during a regular workday for 8, 9, 10 hours, whatever it is, I'm trying to do that as much as I can. Get up every couple hours, walk to the bathroom, let the dog in, let the dog out, you know, go to the kitchen, make a sandwich, whatever. And even if I have kind of back-to-back meetings and I end up sitting at my desk for 2 or 3 plus hours, by the time I get up, I feel very stiff as well. It's actually quite uncomfortable. So I can only imagine being in an aluminum tube like that. Oh, that just sounds... When those words came out of her mouth, my thought in the moment was, is that... that's even a thing? A flight of that distance exists? Why on earth would I mean, I guess the answer to my rhetorical question that I didn't just finish is, well, if you live in Australia and want to go to Europe, that's how you do it. Now, she did mention that there was an alternative on, I believe, is it Qatar Airlines or Qatar or whatever? Depends on who you ask, I guess, where you could go the other way. You could go from Brisbane across the great continent of Australia and continue flying west. But currently that would put you over Middle East airspace, and not a lot of people want to make that journey. Totally understandable. So I think she talked about kind of having an option to do that, and she decided against it, which fully understand. Makes perfect sense to me. So anyway, what's the worst flight you've ever been on? What's the longest flight? Blah, blah, blah. Hit us in the comments, or hit us in the emails, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Anyway, I digress. Subject 4 of 6. We're past the halfway point, folks. We're almost home. I've got a trash situation happening in my house, and I mean this in several different ways. Sounds like my air conditioning's about to turn off, which I intentionally turned on for audio purposes. Anyway, so I'm currently with, I'll just say their name, I'll shout them out in a negative way, with Waste Management. That is the company that I currently hire to pick up and handle my trash situation. They're a national company, maybe even international, I don't know. Probably the largest in the U.S., but in any event, their rates have gone up pretty dramatically in the past couple of years. And to be quite frank, I'm done with them. Not interested. And so I reached out to another company several months ago because there was no way to A, get a quote online, or B, sign up online. I was hoping I could do both and assuming it was cheaper, because I saw one of my neighbors start using this company. Mountain High is their name. I was like, well, great. I'll just sign up with them. Because my next door neighbor started using them, and then the neighbor one house over from them started using them. And as I mentioned many times on this podcast or this podcast network, there are 11 houses in our cul-de-sac, and now 3 of the 11 houses are using Mountain High. I am one of 3 using Waste Management, and then there's 2 other companies that the remaining five houses use between the five of them. But I digress. So I reached out to this company and they never responded. This was back in like January, February. And so I followed up just a week or two ago. I was like, hey, I reached out before and never really got a response. I'm wondering if you could help me out. Because they have an email, like a general, you know, client customer care email or whatever. So I said, I'm just trying to get some pricing. And, you know, I know you guys come down my street because several neighbors use your services. Curious what your pricing is. Would love to switch over. Thinking that alone, oh, new customer, let's go get them. You know, another couple $100 a year for virtually no additional cost because he said his next door neighbor uses them. So the truck's already going down that way. Anyway, so they finally got back and the lady said, she was like, well, we prefer you cancel with your current provider and then give us a call and we can, you know, start your service. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. What if you charge more money? Now I've canceled with my current provider. I don't want to use you guys, and now I'm just shit out of luck. Like, that doesn't work for me. That seems really stupid. And so what I guess I'm going to have to do, even though in the modern age no one wants to do this, is just call them during regular business hours and go, look, I'm not going to cancel until I understand what your prices are. And it's not just the recurring monthly fee. You know, they always have, oh, $20 or $40, you know, trash can rental one-time fee for when you start the service, which, again, I'm happy to pay because I think it is dramatically cheaper, and in a matter of 3 or 4 months, I'd be even on that, and now I'm just saving money from that point forward. But, again, why wouldn't they just tell me? Why can't you tell me over email? Why can't we do all of this over email, by the way? Or send me an online form, a contact form, a form to fill out put my credit card information. I don't understand it. It's very stupid to me. You know, it's a trash company. I don't expect them to be on the cutting edge of technology or the cutting edge even of operations and management, but this seems like a big miss to me. Seems like they could have done better and they didn't. So a little disappointed by that, but I'll keep you guys updated on the trash situation as it continues to develop. I'm hoping to move over to these guys. Because, look, the other thing I didn't mention at the top of this segment of the show is we recently, with cleaning out the basement, which I've talked about many times, and doing some other projects around the house, just trying to, it's not spring cleaning. We've been cleaning for months now. This has been through the winter, even through last summer. Trash pickup is Thursday morning. By Sunday night, our trash can's usually full because we're just constantly throwing away. And of course, with the wife ordering a bunch of stuff from Amazon, there's a bunch of boxes that, don't get me wrong, I break them down. I don't just throw boxes in my trash can. I will break the box down to maximize the amount of available space that remains once I've put the box in the trash can. But even with all of that, and trying to pack it as tight and as neat as I can in there, it just fills up very, very quickly. So, but the point is, I've even considered, if I could do it, temporarily getting two trash cans. So we could double the speed at which we're cleaning stuff out of various rooms, namely the basement, increase the volume that we're throwing away. It would be worth it if I could do it for like 3 months, but I honestly don't think that I can. I've also considered, although I don't think we would never be ready to do this. I've also considered renting one of those gigantic trash things where you can just throw a bunch of crap in there and they come pick it up and take it away. But I looked it up at several $100s. That's not worth it to me. I'd rather bit by bit put the big trash stuff in my trash can like a psychopath. Because eventually it'll catch up. You know, if it's just like regular trash, kitchen trash, the occasional Amazon package, that sort of thing, that's not a problem. That I can fit in my trash can, no problem. We are not a family that produces all that much trash typically. But because we're doing this backlog cleaning, if you will, it's just led to some tough situations and some weeks where it's like, all right, guys, Sunday night, Sunday midday, no more trash. Like, don't create anything smelling in the kitchen trash because it's going to be a problem. That sort of a thing. So anyway, that's my trash situation. Speaking of trash, I have, for some reason, over the past, I don't know, week or two, I've been getting the craziest, and I do mean the craziest, text messages, spam text messages. I want to read some of them to you. I've got a lot, but we'll start. So this will, we'll start. This was May 11th. So just over a week ago. Of course, I don't reply to any of these. And it's always one-time text. And it's from zip codes. I'm sorry, area codes I don't recognize. Ready to speak the truth? Grab your free copy of How to Share Jesus from Preborn and step into gospel sharing with confidence. Okay. Not sure what the hell that's all about. But all right. Will do. We'll consider that. Here we go. I've gotten this same... The text here has been the same before from a couple different numbers. What is the mark of the beast? It's the most famous warning in the Bible. Learn more. And then a link that obviously I'm not going to click on. There's another one. Same thing. What's the mark of the beast? Different number, different area code. This is a fun one. By the way, I've shared all of these with my wife, so she's heard all of these. Jamie knows all these. Before she clicks order on abortion pills, you can place truth in front of her. $28 helps her see her baby. And a link. Sure, you got it. Here we go. Here's another one. Different area code. Boldness without love wounds. Love without truth leaves people lost. Get How to Share Jesus from Preborn and speak with both. Yep, you got it. Can do. You got it, buddy. There's another one. Same text. Abortion pills. There's another mark of the beast. That was from this past Sunday. There's another boldness without wounds. Here you go. Here's a new one. Different one. You can share Jesus with clarity and confidence. This free guide from Preborn, so clearly Preborn is the company, walks you through 9 practical scripture-rooted steps, starting with your own walk with Christ. Get it here. And a link. Always got to put the link here. And then here's a random one, not related, I don't think, but Dr. Ben Carson here. Yes, that Ben Carson. Critical decisions are being made that will determine your future. Your neighbors are weighing in. Are you? With a link. Again, I almost never know how information gets out there and these sorts of things get sent. I also don't quite know how it's not completely illegal. And I'm sure in certain states, certain jurisdictions, it probably is illegal. I'm not the guy that's going to file a lawsuit or even be part of a class action. I don't care that much. But it is annoying and frustrating to have all of those. And yes, I will at some point soon go through and report spam. And I've already done it with a few of them. Obviously, more just came in behind it. But reporting spam and essentially saying, get rid of this crap. Please get it out of my face. But I just don't understand. Well, first of all, I don't understand how that, really how that works. How am I a person that's selected for this and why? You know, anybody? Can anybody help me? Does anybody know? TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Anything I can do? Any fun ways to get back? That's the other thing. If I thought there was actually a person on the other end, I would just reply back and say, let me know. Thanks, Preborn. I do want that information. I do want to walk with Jesus. I do want to not have my wife order abortion pills or whatever that thing said. Like, it's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, we close with the final topic. Again, bouncing around here. This feels like the fastest pod I've ever done. So I mentioned I went to dinner with 4 of my coworkers this evening, 5 of us total. And we went to an Italian spot. It's now the 3rd or 4th Italian place I've been to here in Salt Lake. And I feel like everyone has this. And even speaking with a couple of them, I feel like the people that I dined with have this as well. And by this, I mean a go-to staple order at an Italian restaurant. I'll explain mine. If available, and this is definitely not available at all Italian restaurants, but if available, I will get veal parm. Yes, I feel bad about it. I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, but I do feel bad that veal is literally baby cow. It doesn't make me feel good about things, but it does taste good. It really does. So if that's on the menu, I will get veal parm. It's basically chicken parm, except it's veal. It's got a little bit of the cheese on top, typically comes with spaghetti on the side. It's delicious. Sorry, cows everywhere. I know you want to see more chicken, but not today. Not if they have it on the menu at an Italian place. Second runner-up to veal parm, which again, oftentimes is not there, is lasagna. Why lasagna, Scott? Well, A, it's pasta. I do like pasta. B, it's something that, as I was telling my coworker tonight, it's something that even if you don't make it really well, it still usually is good. It's really hard to fuck up lasagna. It can be done. I've had situations where the noodles, one of the layers, like didn't cook right, got exposed to air or something, were a little crunchy. That's no fun. Don't like that. I've had situations where, which kind of happened tonight, where it came out and it was, you know, 400 Kelvin, like it was just incredibly hot, like incredibly, incredibly hot. That's no good either. That's no good. And by the way, that's boiling, essentially, if you didn't know. And some people don't know Kelvin. You know, and everything in between. But it just, it's really hard to mess up. Even bad lasagna in a standard meal, even bad lasagna is still a good meal. So I'll go with that. And then behind that, I mean, every Italian place has lasagna, let's be honest. But if they happen to not have it, I will get chicken parm. Again, same thing as veal parm, just different meat underneath the cheese. Because again, hard to mess that up. Now, a little more likely though, because anyone that's listening knows when cooking chicken, you can overcook it. The chicken can be tough. Now, typically it's breaded. In fact, almost 100% of the time it's breaded, but you know, the breading can be off. The breading can be moist, which is kind of gross. Yeah, there are ways to mess that up for sure, but it still usually is pretty good unless you've really botched cooking the chicken, which again can happen, but typically you do okay and you move on. So yeah, what is your Italian go-to? TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Let me know. But again, I think Italian places, similar to Mexican places, and those may be the only two, I feel like everybody kind of has something they typically go for. Not that they don't deviate, but you just have that thing. Like for me, again, Mexican places, chimichangas. Do you have? But the issue with chimichangas, and I, again, let me be very clear. You can mess up a chimichanga. Lasagna, impossible. Chimichanga, you can mess up. And they can be so different. So different. It's basically a fried burrito. But it's, you can, they come in all shapes and sizes. And it depends what's on the inside. Are we talking chicken? Are we talking beef? Are we talking, what's the, whatever. There's a variety of meats you can put inside a chimichanga. That makes a difference. Makes a big difference. So it can get a little sketchy. And also, unfortunately, when I was dating my now wife and she was at school in Clemson, there was a place, a Mexican place there that we would eat at all the time. It was very, very yummy. And the chimichangas there are amazing. I've yet to find a place that has chimichangas as good as the Mexican restaurant in Clemson. And so I keep searching for it. And by the way, I live in Denver. You would think that there would be multiple places where you can get delicious Mexican food, period, let alone specifically chimichangas. Not necessarily the case. The place we go to, El Tecaleno, local to us in Denver, is they have chimichangas. They're not that good. I've had them before. They're dry. They're very dry. So my staple there is actually a burrito. Burrito Dorado is what it's called. It's very tasty. It comes with rice and beans. And when we get that on Friday night, there's always enough for the next night. There's enough for leftovers. And their chips are great. We get chips and cheese as well. But the issue, I will tell you, the issue with, in my opinion, all Mexican food in Colorado is they try to slather everything in green chili. Like, it's a problem. You think a lot of people smoke weed in Colorado? No, a lot of people eat green chili in Colorado. And it's not that I hate green chili, but I do not like green chili on my food. And I swear there are some Mexican places where it's like, oh, would you want to, what do you like to drink? Green chili? No. Get it the fuck away from my food. I don't want it. Keep it out. Please. And thank you. Por favor. Y gracias. So anyway, I digress. Listen, that's it. I hit the 30-minute mark. That's always what I try to do with these Scott Speaks, and then I peace out. I'm going to try to get to bed a little early because of the dinner tonight. I wasn't able to do the usual, which is running and going to Cafe Zupas for dinner. Proud sponsor. So I'm going to have to get up in the morning and run, which means I got to get up a little earlier. So I'm going to try to hit the hay, maximize my sleep here. I always try to do that when I'm traveling, if possible. Vegas is an obvious exception, but if I'm traveling for work and I'm just, you know, going to the hotel, do a little work, and then you may as well maximize sleep. There's no interruptions. There's no reason not to. So that's what I'm going to try to do. So anyway, as I said multiple times, let me know any of your thoughts on any of these topics this evening, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Hit us up on Instagram and X at @the_bro_pod. Of course, you can check out all the past episodes, almost 500 of them now, which is crazy to think about. But all the past episodes at, I completely lost my train of thought. All the past episodes at bropodnetwork.com. No the in front, just bropodnetwork.com is where you can grab all of those. And yeah, that's how you do it. Like, subscribe, share. You're probably listening on Spotify, so do whatever you can to grow the show there. We do appreciate you listening. We appreciate the patronage. Hope to hear from you all very soon. And with that said, I will bid you adieu. So, thank you as always for listening. And until next week, everybody.